Yesterday, oh my heavens, got way more than my fair share of fresh air yesterday, and at 7 o'clock was nodding off over my supper. How ridiculous is that? But oh, what a day for taking photographs. Mr. Larry Weber joins us this morning on the phone. Howdy there, sunshine.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. And I hate to disappoint you, but I did not take photos yesterday. That did not mean I didn't see plenty of things of note. But yeah, this is the 23rd of April. 1 week from today, we will be at the last day of April. 1 week from tomorrow, the first day of May. Well, last time I talked about how the precipitation and so forth, temperatures and stuff like that were for the first half. In the week since then, we've had things happen this past week, but surprisingly, you know, with some of the clouds and wind and so forth, we really did not get a lot of precipitation. You talk about yesterday. Yesterday was quite a marvel. The official high yesterday was 64 degrees, and I'm sure there are plenty of places that had higher than that. Lots of sunlight, but also lots of wind. And so one of the warnings there was about yesterday was, yeah, our fire hazard is still going on. Precipitation has fallen off. As of the first half of the month, we were way above normal, and we slowed down quite a bit this past week. Now, according to the forecast, it should be coming back again. And that's going to be good. That's going to cause the greening, and when you get greening, then you have that fire hazard go down. We have had a little bit of snow, but not much. April normally has snow, so it's no big deal. But there are other fascinating things going on. April's a very hard month to predict. You know, you try to predict moisture and you predict it temperature-wise, and it jumps all over the place. But one thing that is consistent is the days continue to get longer. And as of right now, we are at 14 hours of daylight. And yes, it's very obvious in the evenings. And for early risers like you, you certainly see it in the morning as well. There's bird news, of course, with migration. These longer days mean migration. And the biggest news, of course, was the pelicans arriving at Chambers Grove. I saw the first ones. It was a flock I estimated somewhere around 30 to 50. That was on Saturday the 17th. And, of course, since then, the flocks have gotten bigger, and I've been back a couple times to see them again. And I estimated the last flock I saw, I estimated to be close to 200. And so if you haven't gotten out to see it, it's worth getting out to see. It's really interesting. They do not nest there. They seem to be just resting. And they nest in quite a few places in northern Minnesota, but not there. Okay, other sightings of note are not quite as dramatic. One, I was walking the next day, the 18th, I heard a sound overhead, and it was what's often referred to a winnowing sound. I never did see the bird, but I knew immediately what it was, and that was a Wilson's snipe. A Wilson's snipe is a shorebird related to the woodcock that I've talked about before. And it hangs around water with its long bill and so forth. But then it goes on to this flight where it gives off this winnowing noise as it flies over. And that's its method of it trying to get the attention of the female and so forth. And that was on the 18th. But to me, the greatest sighting bird-wise for the past week happened yesterday in my own backyard, and that was the first warblers of the season. Yellow-rumped warblers have a bit of a strange name, but if you ever watch them, they're a small bird. They tend to come back and stay high up in the trees. I have red maples in the backyard, and the red maples are in bloom. And, of course, this attracts a few insects, and that brings in these yellow-rump warblers that feed on insects. But if you watch them, you'll see that yellow patch showing up, that yellow rump shows up quite well. This is consistently, I have never had an exception, consistently the first warbler to return. There's a couple reasons for that, and one of them is that they don't winter as far south as a lot of other ones. The same thing is true with a couple other warblers that will soon show up, palm warbler, pine warbler, and orange crown warbler. And then the same thing is true with the hermit thrush. The hermit thrush, which I also saw last week, is the first thrush to come back in the winter, in the spring, because the same thing, it winters in the southern states. It doesn't go all the way down to Central America like others, and therefore it's a little quicker to come back. So yes, there are things that are happening, and though I did not see it myself, I've got reports of tree swallows, which are the first swallows to come back, and American bittern. American bittern is an interesting bird. It's kind of like a heron, all brown, kind of striped, very good at camouflage. And they often are noted in the spring because of the weird squelching noise that they make. Also of note, last night, walking at dusk, 8:30, I saw the first bats of the season. Big brown bats are the ones that I see almost always when I see bats. And they do migrate, but they also will winter in our area. It's not exactly a hibernation, but it's a deep sleep. If we have mild temperatures in March, I've seen it happen that they'll come out and fly around for a while. But usually it's a little bit later. And yes, I saw them. I expect to see them on a regular basis. And then I have some interesting encounters with frog and toad this week. I have talked about before that we have a trio of frogs, the wood frog, the chorus frog, and the spring peeper, that start calling in the spring, and I heard all those this week. But then as we get toward the end of April, a fourth one makes a quartet, and that fourth one is the northern leopard frog, and they make a noise that sounds kind of like a snore. Now, they're a little different from the other ones because they are more in the bigger bodies of water. I see them in swamps. The other three are more likely in these smaller ponds called vernal ponds. Well, the chorus, leopard frog also differs from the others because the other three all winter on land, but the leopard frog doesn't. It goes down to the mud on the bottom of the larger body of water. In this case, it was a swamp. Now, if that's not enough, there are a couple others that winter on land that had their sleep a little bit interrupted this week because of yard work and garden work. Gray tree frog was unturned, and gray tree frogs will be waking soon, so I don't think it bothers it that bad. And the same way with American toad. They are both ones that wake and start calling in May, and they had their sleep a little bit interrupted, but it was good to see that they were here anyway. Other things of note, as we get into the end of April, I always start looking for the spring wildflowers. I talked the last time about hepatica, spring beauty, and bloodroot as being earlier ones. And then I had this marvelous person send me a photo of a flower called coltsfoot. Coltsfoot is a spring wildflower around here. It's a regular occurrence, but it is frustrating to find. Every time I find some, I try to go back the next season, and they're not necessarily in bloom. They only bloom sometimes. But when they bloom, they're really a neat little flower to see of white. They are one of the few composites that bloom in the springtime, a cousin of goldenrod and aster and such. Most of our other wildflowers in the springtime are not. But this coltsfoot that was sent to me had something else unusual about it. It was a male. That's another thing that makes them weird. The flowers are either male or female. Not true with almost always our spring wildflowers, which tend to be both. So, yes, it was a fascinating discovery, and I am so glad somebody sent it to me. Other ones to be in the lookout, I saw big buds on wild ginger and marsh marigold this week. I expect if we get some sunlight, we might be seeing those in bloom soon. Violets, wild strawberry, and trout lilies are all going to be blooming soon. I mentioned before about the red maples in bloom. They continue to bloom, as do the forsythia. And there's leaves coming out. I think the first one is always the elderberry, but this week I saw leaves coming out also on cherry, gooseberry, and fly honeysuckle. And then, Lisa, this is always a terrific discovery. First fiddleheads of the season. I saw them the day before yesterday. The fiddlehead is the new growth of a fern. It's not a new fern because the fern is still alive underground, but it's the new growth of a fern. In the world of ferns, leaves are called fronds, and the fronds grow from branches or from stems, and the stems are underground, and they start to unroll in the springtime in what we call fiddlehead. This one was the interrupted fern, which is almost always the first one, but I expect we will see some more. A little bit more moisture in the woods, and we're going to have things happening. So, yes, Lisa, welcome to the last week of April, and it looks like April's going to go out with a few things to keep us in mind.
I think it sounds marvelous. I just would like a little bit more sunshine and a little bit warmer, but that's just me.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if we're going to get too many days like yesterday where it was sunny all day, but it sounds like in the forecast we're going to have sunny at different times of the day.
Looks like over the weekend we'll get a half a day of yuck, and then we'll get a half a day of nice. And so possibly...
Depends on the definition of yuck and nice.
Well, I want the definition of nice is anything that makes my pictures look lovely, which is sunshine.
Ah, wonderful.
So there you have it.
Take care and good luck.
Thanks
a million. I look forward to seeing more of the photos.
Thanks a million, Larry. Larry Weber this morning, our host for Backyard Almanac, a regular feature of Fridays here on 103.3 KUMD.